This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com coming to you from Portland, Oregon. And we both send you a huge hearty welcome to the 50th episode of The New World Next Week. We have now been doing this for just about a year, and I think the growth of the show and I think the way things have worked, James, has really worked out really well. And I think we end up being a good kind of balance of each other. And we also have NewWorldNextWeek.com where you can get high quality downloads of these episodes that you can share and burn, and they look fantastic. However, there's a lot of, James, what we basically called scary-ass news for this 50th episode, and I'll mention that it's still the 13th here in the States. James, it's already the 14th to you there in Japan. But so far, I've not seen any massive alien events that all the chatter and rumor mills have been abuzz about. But what we're going to get to here is the far more probable imminent event. And we're going to start it off with an article simply called Foreclosure Gate, coming from the fantastic blacklistednews.com and cross-posted on the economiccollapseblog.com. Michael Schneider gets into Foreclosure Gate about to explode. It's being alleged that many prominent mortgage lenders have been using materially flawed paperwork to evict homeowners. Apparently, officials at quite a few of these firms have been signing thousands upon thousands of foreclosure documents without even looking at them. In addition, it is being alleged that much of the documentation for these mortgages that are being foreclosed upon is either improper or is actually missing. As lawyers start to smell blood in the water, lawsuits challenging these foreclosures have already started springing up from coast to coast. In fact, some are already calling Foreclosure Gate the biggest fraud in the history of the capital markets. JP Morgan Chase, Ally Bank's GMAC, GMAC Mortgage, and PNC Financial have all suspended foreclosure in the 23 U.S. states where foreclosures must be approved by a judge. Bank of America, B of A, B very of A, has actually suspended foreclosures in all 50 states. Now, law enforcement authorities from coast to coast are calling for investigations into this controversy, and it could be years before this thing gets unraveled. And it gets worse with each passing day, and there are a lot of links contained in this article that we, again, implore you, and we provide you with the links to go read these articles for yourself and source these things out for yourself. We want to make mention of just two examples of what is bringing Foreclosure Gate to light now. One GMAC mortgage official admitted during a December 2009 deposition that his team of 13 people signed approximately 10,000 foreclosure documents a month without reading them. One Bank of America employee confessed during a Massachusetts bankruptcy case that she signed up to 8,000 foreclosure documents a month and typically did not look at them because of the volume. James?
Well, this is insane, and I think we've only just begun to see the tip of the iceberg of this foreclosure gate, and I think people are just beginning to understand all the ramifications of what's going on here, but my mind boggles at this. I mean, just after 2 years after the meltdown on Wall Street and the bailout scam, which has stolen $23+ trillion out of U.S. taxpayers' pockets, you thought that Wall Street couldn't get any more bald-faced in their scamming and scheming and lying and manipulation and fraud in order to squeeze another few cents out of the public. You get this, where they're not even reading the foreclosure documents, and people are being foreclosed on who don't even have a mortgage, and bank agents are breaking into people's houses, as you might have seen on my last Sunday update. I mean, it's just getting insane, and I don't know. There's got to be a breaking point at some point, but I don't know when it's coming, but it's not going to be pretty, and this isn't good for anyone. This is not good news. Even if there is a foreclosure moratorium, it's still going to just wreak havoc on... there are some mortgages that they can't even sort out the paperwork now because there are so many different, you know, derivatives and swaps and trades going on behind the scenes. They don't even know who is the title owner anymore, and it's going to take years to sort this mess out, and... it's just not pretty for anyone, and it's really scary.
It really is, and it does seem to feel, and maybe, you know, maybe I take this on more because I spend too much time looking at all this stuff, but there does seem to feel a general tension level that's rising as we reach, you know, elections, and it's just things, it's every day, it's unbelievable things. So, James, I guess we'll just quickly move into our second story, which is actually a group of stories that I have posted up on MediaMonarchy.com under the headline and post title, Econo Crash, Welfare, Debtors, Prisons, and Dying Communities. And we'll start it with a piece from USA Today that, again, hat tip to the fantastic Cryptogon.com, who puts the fantastic, almost horror movie title to it. Walmarts swell with poor people once a month at midnight when the government's electronic dole payout goes through. Once a month, just after midnight, the beeping checkout scanners at a Walmart just off Interstate 95 come alive in a chorus of financial desperation. Here and at grocery stores across the country, the chimes come just after food stamps and other monthly government benefits drop into the accounts of shoppers who have been rationing things like milk, ground beef, and toilet paper and can finally stock up again. Shoppers mill around the store after 11 p.m., killing time until their accounts are replenished. When midnight strikes, they rush for the checkout counter. I'm almost kind of speechless in that, and it kind of brings to mind that, you know, there's the horrible People of Walmart website and these things that are sort of made fun of but are becoming more and more manifest and real in all our faces. Some of the other things posted along this that, again, I feel are all inextricably linked. We get one from allgov.com. Debtors prisons make a comeback in the U.S. Both the Brennan Center for Justice and the ACLU have issued reports on the rise of debt-related incarceration, noting that courts are administering more fees these days as a way to make up for budget shortfalls. And another one from the Associated Press, dying communities see salvation in new prisons. We also have a little bit of an update, again, from USA Today. Tight budgets lead to more civilians used for policing. James.
If I recall correctly, on the last episode of Media Monarchy, you mentioned that the government is going to start making it so you can't buy sugary drinks with your food ration credits?
New York is talking about moving on that.
I see. So, as we see, the economic collapse is proceeding apace. We've seen how it's been engineered by the banksters who benefit from it, and now the social engineers can come along and tell people what they can and can't do with their food rations, and it becomes a completely controlled society. And you're right, the people who are making fun of the Walmart people or whatever, you have to know that's what goes around comes around, and it's not a good thing to have a growing number of desperately poor people in society. And anyone who doesn't understand that really needs their head examined, I think.
Mm-hmm. And we can even get slightly esoteric with it and overlay the sort of as above, so below, that the same sort of recklessness from our misleaders and elites that have gotten us to the situation, now we're going to have masses of people basically replicating that because we're all basically told, what difference does it make? It's all falling apart anyway.
Right.
I may as well get mine.
Yeah. The feces trickles down from the top, and we're just emulating what we see happening up there, right? I see that.
So, as again, it feels like even for me, the tension level of this kind of ratchets up because it's ridiculous. And this is the way we'll go out as this sort of comedy of errors ratchets up, too. Again, you almost have to kind of laugh to not cry and lose your head over all of this. Because ultimately, James, you know, we know that's the thing. It's the war on consciousness that all of this is about, ultimately. We're just kind of reporting and telling folks about the developments as it goes, hoping to lead to something better than this. When I saw this headline, you know, it immediately caught my attention. However, when I figured out it was talking about the very county I live in, I, of course, perked up and paid attention. From Raw Story, Stephen Webster writing, Oregon County decriminalizes heroin, meth, cocaine, and shoplifting. It's crunch time for many municipalities across the United States, but for one county in Oregon, that means a little more than in most. The district attorney in Multnomah County, the state's most populous area with over 710,000 residents, announced recently that it can no longer prosecute dozens of crimes thanks to an ever-shrinking budget. Caught with small amounts of heroin, coke, or meth? It's a ticket. So is a hit-and-run accident. Small-time shoplifting, you'll still get arrested, but it's still just a violation. For these and other lesser crimes, the district attorney will simply refuse to prosecute. Still, police have been directed to continue operating as normal, making arrests as they see fit, and it'll be up to the county's attorneys to decide what gets prosecuted. In spite of the relaxed penalties for numerous crimes, chances are the drunk driver who recently rear-ended the county sheriff in a drunk driving incident will see the business end of a judge's gavel. But it might take a while. Shrunk, who is the DA here, his staff was recently cut by 27%, according to statements provided, again, local media here, K2.com. In a perfect world, you'd commit a crime, you'd be prosecuted for what it is, District Attorney Mike Shrunk told the Oregonian, we don't have unlimited funds. Other crimes which the county will adjust to violation level include trespassing on non-commercial property, theft or forgery in the second degree, harassment, interfering with a police officer, interfering with public transportation, which I fear is going to become far more popular here in a city that has formerly had great public transportation, resisting arrest, non-injury, and criminal mischief in the second degree. All of this is available with a PDF link. In spite of this whole budgetary rue, Multnomah County is one of the few only in the nation that is piloting a program that affixes GPS tracking bracelets to youths convicted of gang-related crimes, a practice widely criticized by civil rights groups. This is where I live, James.
Well, good luck with that. It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, this is what an economic collapse looks like. And unfortunately, we're going to be seeing more of this. And we've already seen this in various counties where the sheriff has basically said, get a gun because I can't protect you. Huh? So
they're not going to say that in Obamatown here in Liberalville.
Yeah, well, there you go. A gun, oh my God, no. So unfortunately, this is an economic collapse. It is happening right in front of our face, and it's not pleasant for anyone. And these are some pretty interesting times, as the old proverb goes. So I don't know what to say other than good luck.
You know, and the last thing I would say is, you know, possession of drugs, that's one thing. But some of those things that are, you know, shoplifting, you know, breaking and entering, not non-commercial. That's the thing there. So now, if you start to break into our corporate enclaves, well, then, of course, we're going to, you know, throw you in jail. But if you guys are just robbing from each other, you know, carry on.
Yeah. Let the cattle fight amongst each other. Exactly. Uh-huh. So, exactly. Well, this just goes to show that people have to start building those communities and getting off the grid that has oppressed us, because it's no longer taking care of you in any way or even pretending to take care of you. So building self-reliant communities is so important, and that's what we've been talking about for a long time, and it's just growing in importance with each passing day.
Absolutely. James, as we close this 50th episode, we didn't talk about this, but I just want to throw out here at the end how just totally proud and stoked I am to be hooked up with you and to work on this show and to be able to go through these things in a great kind of dialogue way. And again, it's opened up to everybody else out there to love or hate or share or comment and just get this information and get the discussions going with people. It's been, you know, nothing but a privilege and a pleasure, and I appreciate it.
And I'm sure we have many more to come, and all of that right back at you. So people, stay tuned. We've got many, many, many more episodes to come, and we will be documenting the economic crash and everything else that's taking place, one episode at a time.